industry. And to FEDASA, we say you have done a lot, and a lot more still needs to be done. And together, let us try and move to make tourism better and bigger. But it can only be by partnerships between governments, partnership with other less fortunate businesses that is going to guarantee a future and a good future for that industry. And you are a voice of a very important formation, not only in tourism, but in South Africa as a whole. Let us move then together and see that South Africa is a wonderful and a memorable experience to explore for every tourist, whether they are domestic or international. With those few words, I would request then FEDASA to make the first presentation for about 45 minutes. And immediately after that, then it will be SANPARK. So if we have questions for clarification or other questions, please let us ask them after both the presentations. That would be my request. 45 minutes each, so that it gives us time to voice our concerns where we have concerns and ask questions where we have questions. We are indeed very happy to have you here, and if we engage you robustly, it is not our intention to hurt anybody. We are proud to be to have you here. With those few words, let me then ask the FEDASA to make its presentation. Thank you. Excuse me from the DA, Mr. Krumbach.
Yeah, this is not a DA question, it's a committee one. I just wanted to ask, I mean, must we write fast, or will there be notes coming later? I don't think we got any pre-packaged documentation for this particular presentation, Chairperson. Can Sarasa just advise us, are we going to get notes, or can we listen, or must we write everything down?
According to the Secretary, he is going to reproduce the presentation. FEDASA could not supply it last week as a SANPARK did. It could have been for valid reasons, perhaps, but I think we are going to have the benefit of their presentation.
There is a presentation, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And then just from the last committee meeting, there were a lot of questions from the committee, and I was told I had gone quickly, which is the right thing for us. So I would, Mr. Chair, rather, if there was something that needed clarity, I would rather deal with it at the time than carry on. I think there's a huge amount of information, so if that helps the committee.
It is questions of clarity.
Clarity through the discussion.
Okay, but I think they should not be accompanied by comments. That is
just
my concern from the chair. Okay, thank you.
Okay. The presentation that's on the board now, and it is included for handing out later, is a survey that's done by Horwath internationally, and this one, part of the survey represents the South African accommodation industry. Lots of detail and statistics, and I just thought that it would be, just to go to the conclusions, just to create a platform for the discussion on where the hotel industry is, and compared to the rest of the world, we are faring better than the rest of the world. But all provinces have recorded improvements in their sentiment towards the market, but they are still concerned that the market is actually bottoming out. Hoteliers from KwaZulu-Natal in the Free State and Eastern Cape clearly believe there is still some way to go before significant improvements in the market can be seen. On the other hand, the hoteliers in the Northwest Province, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape are more positive about the outlook, registering the biggest positive sentiment. Now, that's as a result of the cities, basically, with what's happening for the World Cup. They're the ones that are the most active in what they're seeing coming through from bookings. Local tourism trends and global economic growth trends are expected to have the most positive effect on hotel performance in 2010. Participating hoteliers expect global oil prices and newly competitive supply additions to negatively impact performance. We are expecting, specifically in the Cape, that after the World Cup there is going to be, the nice word is a bloodbath, because you've got a huge number of hotel rooms coming online and there just isn't going to be the demand to fill it. The majority of participating hoteliers don't think that the MICE, and that's the meetings and incentives and corporate events, demand will improve significantly to maintain the levels of performance, and with that performance will obviously come the rates. With the 2010 FIFA World Cup being hosted in South Africa, it's not surprising that the responding hoteliers expect their leisure fly-in and travel and leisure group tourists to improve significantly in 2010 when compared to 2009. The only caveat I would have put to this report is that for the months of June and July 2010 against the years of 2009. So as reports go compared to the rest of the world, this was a more positive one. The sentiment was more positive. But what I need to just emphasize is that right now our industry is in turmoil. There's already, I don't know if you've been following the newspapers, Queensgate have gone into liquidation. That's a huge number of hotel rooms. The consequences of that are lots of people that have booked hotel accommodation with them, paid deposits, only to find out that those rooms are now gone. Because Queensgate is a management company leasing the property from a landlord. So when the management company goes and gets kicked out of its premises, it doesn't mean that there's any protection for those rooms in the leased property. Anyway, FedArthur 2010 and roomsforyou.travel, a tourism legacy project. The big issues that you all have been reading about and talking about is around pricing, price gouging, and this one has been a very difficult one for the industry in that we basically have been tarnished with the same brush, and it's been those members that are outside of our normal contracted accommodation that are actually putting this pressure on us. Also, the media are highlighting items that are not necessarily comparing apples with apples, and you know, you'll see something that 50,000 rand a day is being charged, but that may be for a 10-bedroom house on Clifton Beach. Now, that's not a comparison of the hotel room, and I can assure you that the same thing would have happened in Germany or anywhere else in the world. So I do ask the committee that they start questioning things as they told it. So what was that for? You know, it's no good saying my meal was expensive if I had crayfish, champagne, and caviar. That's not a normal meal. That doesn't make it an expensive meal. That's what you would expect if you were doing that. The availability of accommodation, we've gone through all the match presentations of understanding the shortage of accommodation. There is no shortage of accommodation. I said that at our last meeting. The challenge that we have is that by the contract that we have with Match, and if I refer to them back as a normal conference organizer, not that it's the whole country and all the hotels, if you had a conference for the committee at a hotel booking the conference center out, you would commit to taking 50 rooms. If you're, and at certain dates you would release the rooms you didn't need. You would know that your maximum number would be 50 rooms, and then as time progressed towards the conference, if for reasons you didn't have the turnout you were expecting, you would have the ability by the hotel to release the room, and so on, until you got to the numbers that you know you'll confirm. If you don't release the rooms, then you would be the one responsible for paying for those rooms. And the situation is no different for Match. So the contracts were negotiated by the hotel groups. It was a common contract, and we all understood Were we happy that the releases of stock are happening? Certainly not, but it's not out of our normal line of business. So right now, the industry is not in a worse position than it was before, and all of these release dates were discussed with the express need to have the ability to then sell the rooms on. Perception of South Africa as a destination. I think, again, the press is, first of all, there are tough economic times in the world, but we are a long-haul destination. And those are words that are always left out of every comparison. Is when you compare our food, our accommodation, and the tickets, it is cheaper than it was in 2006. The challenge we have is that we have the addition of the long-haul flight with the costs that are associated with that. And also because of the logistics of the country, dealing with the transport issues around that. So that is adding value. The impact and concerns of the South Africa post-event is I am very, very concerned that after the event, South Africa hotel accommodation is going to be under tremendous pressure. Those hotels that are able to survive until the event, I think we're going to see some very harsh realities. Hotels closing down, consolidations, and possibly also the release of a lot of jobs because the occupancy simply won't sustain it. Are there any other items of discussion or that do not fall into this category now? Okay.
When you say outside your contracted accommodation, do you mean contracted to match, or is it some other contract you're talking about?
No, the contract to match. It also took a lot of flack for the last 4 years because we kept on saying to people that they should contract to match. And the reason we did that was so that this issue of pricing would not be an issue, that there would be the availability, because at the end of the day, it was FedHasa that signed on the bid document for the World Cup that there would be enough accommodation available, and that the rulings and that would be constant through the industry. So the issues of the people who weren't contracted to match is that they went out because of the contract stating that you had to retain your accommodation and rates up until the 10th of April. It made sure that you couldn't go out and try and sell your rooms before that, because it was possible that they would all be taken up. The people who did not contract into match, which was the minority, if you remember from my last report, they are were able to then start charging ridiculous figures for people that were insisting on buying accommodation pre-match release date. And because of that, they started pushing the pricing way up. Okay. Anyway, the association, together with the Department of Tourism, identified a lot of these issues a while ago, and what we did was put together a project which was called Rooms for You. Now, there are a lot of portals out in the marketplace, but what happened was that the industry itself had a lot of challenges. One was that the payments and processes of these portals was not online in real time. And by real time, we mean that when you book on your accommodation, when you book something, you can pay for it and know that it's confirmed. A lot of the reservation systems at the moment, you will book and they will send a fax off, and then the fax has to come back, and then the booking is confirmed. Now, anyone dealing with internet bookings, specifically from the international market, will know that that's just not acceptable. And what we found as an association was from a legacy, and particularly from the SMME side, they simply weren't able to play on a level playing field with the larger hotel groups. So we put together this booking portal. It was a tool for all accommodation service providers to get to the market on the web real time and to gain exposure to potential web customers. We've obviously used 2010 as the catalyst for this, that it's a service that needs to be in place to enable us to perform internationally with the accommodation. An easy-to-use point of service for local and international travelers to locate and book accommodation within South Africa. This word MEES, which is meetings, exhibitions, and special events, you will hear more and more. The conference, the T20 conference in Johannesburg, was around the tourism meetings and specifically sporting events. So that's just an acronym, one of those. Yeah. I hate the long words. All right, where we are with this, and I'll carry on to address what the issues are, is that all accommodation providers were concerned about the sale of their rooms. Even those that are contracted to match do not know what stock's going to be released to them. So what's happened in the last couple of months when the issues of timeshare and that were released is that the hoteliers have started saying, okay, well, how are we going to sell the rooms? What are the platforms? And again, unfortunately, because of the platform, is the SMMEs were the ones that would be at least in a position to deal with this because they wouldn't have this platform. As of the from the 1st of December until the 1st of March, the FedArthur Rooms for You partnership have been going out to the national database to make sure that all the establishments are registered. Now, of 18,000 establishments, we've secured 3,500 people registering. Now, that for me is a concern because there are a lot of people now sitting who actually are without the ability to get to a sales channel. Now, you need to know that it's no good having your food on the market if you don't have someone coming to buy it. And I think that a lot of the issues that these SMMEs are facing is that they actually don't know how the systems work. And on this one, if you ask Mr. Chair about what the committee can do for me, is the provincial structures and the national structures are simply not working together. And there are too many different agendas to actually get things done. And I do warn that we're going to be sitting on the 12th of July and everyone's going to say, well, why didn't we do more? And it's simply going to be because of these agendas and no one actually actioning to help their constituents or the hoteliers in their regions. The Department of Tourism and South African Tourism has stepped up communication from the beginning of March, and the site will go live on the 15th of March. I want to talk now about the value proposition from an accommodation point of view. The website will go live, which is the roomsforyou.travel website. The big issue is that the frauds and that have been happening to the industry come in many varied forms, and a lot of places are requesting people to register but charging them R1,000 a month to register on their site. Understand that if you have 100 venues on your site, that's R100,000. More than that is you have made no promise of actually delivering a booking. So when they start talking about fraud, these are all the kind of issues that we need to be aware of. So something that says no cost to registration may not seem like a big issue, but anyone who's happy that there's going to be a direct inflow of accommodation should be happy to do that. There are no barriers to entry. We do have to have internet access. Now, that might be their own personal internet or them going to a internet cafe. We can no longer sit and say that because someone doesn't have internet, we need to make another plan. The very minimum for anyone in SMME or hospitality wanting to play needs to be that they have internet access, and that could be on their telephones or obviously their computers. They also need to have a bank account, because I'll deal later on with the fact that all the money gets paid into their account. This is a confirmed booking when the notification comes through. They would only pay for the use of the service. For SMMEs, it's an administration fee of 50%, which is added onto the rate that they were getting. That 15% is 5%, which is for the bank charges, and a repudiation insurance. On the internet, if you book with credit cards, one of your biggest risks is actually the payment of you making use of your credit card payment, and the fact that the person paying by credit card has the ability to do a bill back later on if he disputes the transaction. For the groups and larger hotels, a 15% commission will be charged, but that is because that is their normal course of business. The 15% also includes 1% TOMSA levy, and as you all know, the TOMSA levy goes to South African Tourism and is used as their marketing budget for the country. Now, a lot of the SMMEs at present are not contributing to the TOMSA levy. It is a voluntary levy, so we find that this will obviously allow a bigger inclusion into that. The direct access into specific markets is we, in respect of 2010, will be working with Match. What's going to happen is that the accommodation that is released by Match will be advised that this is the pool to put their accommodation into, and not only for Match, and we mustn't see this just as a 2010 initiative. This is about putting the South African tourism industry in the correct space for the future. The referrals from the call centre, the one number launched by the Minister, any queries for accommodation will go through to the Rooms for You website. Can I move on from accommodation now?
For B&Bs and whatever wanting to get onto this website, how do they get to? How do they actually get onto it?
There are basically two sites. Everything runs off the .travel page. But there's also a .co.za, roomsforyou.co.za. And the establishment registers, they need to put in all the establishment details. They also need to put in their banking details, their availability of the establishment, and also pictures and descriptions on the property. The moment they do that, they are then live on a treasury of accommodation, and then when we go live with the sales site, which is on BBC and CNN, and they actually will be announcing the site on Monday, is that will then be where people will come into the .travel. So we load in .co.za, which is basically South Africa, and we sell through .travel. All the links are in place, but that's the best. It is for hotels, and the larger hotel groups have things called central reservation systems, which is where all of their inventory is kept in a real-time basis. So we plug into that. The issue is that the smaller establishments haven't been able to afford that kind of technology, and as such, we're not available for this real-time inventory collection. So that's what this whole mechanism was about. So we've pegged into the big companies, and we've also then made it available for the SMMEs. So effectively, a B&B in Soweto will be assuming their price is the same, and they've come under the same sort of search criteria. They will be sitting side by side with the Southern Sun and Sands to the international market. From the guest side, there's no hidden cost to book on the portal. The big issue is called PCI compliancy, which is around the credit card protection and validations. That's all in place, and we have the support of Standard Bank, who will be the people that are holding the trust account. So money does not get paid to the establishment until the service is delivered. There is a guarantee, which is a voucher, and that is handed to the establishment as a guarantee of payment. And as long as they fulfill that obligation so that there is a room to sell, payment will come through. The guests will only pay once for multiple bookings, so they will only have one credit card transaction for maybe 10 different room bookings through the country. And they'll have direct access to the entire accommodation stock according to different search criteria. And that might be by location, i.e. stadiums or cities, the price of the booking, and the grading. Now, again, if I get back to the issues that we're dealing with on pricing, is because everything is on an open platform, is you've got no issue with people trying to price gouge. Because if you're looking for a room at 1,000 Rand, you will find all the rooms available for 1,000 Rand. If you've got a comparable room that's now been sold for 10,000 Rand, it won't even come up on that search criteria. So what we want at the end of the event is people who have priced incorrectly should end up with very expensive and empty rooms. And that will then be their business decision. I know there was a question from Parliament to the Minister asking what the industry was doing about the pricing and structures. And we cannot interfere in the supply and demand of business. But again, if all of a sudden your pricing is out of line, you're not going to get business. Any questions on the value proposition for the guest?
Will you check if these hotels are graded or the B&B is graded?
This is a supplier-driven process. A lot of these systems fall down because there's constant intervention and that is, so it's willing buyer, willing seller. if someone gets to a place that's been depicted as a five-star hotel and it's not, then they simply don't provide the voucher and they go into a dispute mechanism. So the money is a protection until payment. That voucher can be used again to book another accommodation, and if there was no accommodation available, well, the people might be forced to stay there. But we obviously will, on the working with the grading council, make sure that if their members come up, they will say that they are graded, and we will do checks on that. But the thing is that all along the way, sorry, it's not a prerequisite. We obviously want people to be graded, and what we will say on the front of the website is that these are obviously guarantees of some kind of standard, that if it is graded, that's what it's going to be. All right, the big issue is now the country's reputational risk. Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's say I come to this place. I'm no longer happy. Accommodation is not suitable for me. And I still have that money. Where, and I have no other accommodation around that area. Where to complain?
There's a call center for rooms for you. So it's the moment you don't hand it over, you then get into a dispute mechanism. And that voucher will then be used to find you alternate accommodation, or alternatively, let's just say that voucher was for 1,000 rand. You can say to the homeowner or the establishment, I think it's worth 500 rand. And you might come to a deal before you still present the voucher, and he could give you something to the value of 500 rand back. So it would only be if he could not come to some mechanism that would allow you to stay there, which effectively could be for nothing. If there was no other accommodation available. Okay. The reputational risk, and I do ask that when people do say we're overpriced, categorically, and the ministry has put an investigation into place, which we welcome, is that a third party telling us that the pricing has actually been kept in line will be welcome. By those that have contracted. We know that those that have not contracted will be the ones that come up, but again, I think that the investigation will find that, again, you need to compare apples for apples. And I think a lot of the issues that have come out or the examples that have been used are not necessarily doing that. But nevertheless, the word is out there, and I think also that we mustn't be too harsh on ourselves, because the world is going through a recession. And at this time, everybody is worried about what they're spending. So it's not politically correct to be seen to be going and spending huge amounts on tickets and flights if your business is not doing particularly well. The liquidations and frauds is something that we have to be particularly concerned about. And if we have a mechanism of protecting the people, it's what we should be doing. But SATSA, that's the South African Tourist Association, and ourselves are standing united that any funds that are taken by operators or hotels should be held in a trust account until the service is delivered. And this Rooms for You portal allows that to happen. Because in the event of a tour operator, if the tour operator goes bankrupt, you've got exactly the same situation as if the hotel went bankrupt. Now, in our case, what's happened is tour operators actually took a chance by actually paying the deposits on behalf of guests that didn't even exist yet, thinking there was this huge shortage. So what we will see as a result of the Queensgate liquidation now is a number of tour operators also going bankrupt, none of which is good for our businesses. This is just a diagram of the Rooms for You South Africa portal. The eRes is the electronic reservation system that the hotel groups use. We're sitting on about 55,000 rooms available from them in total. What will come off of that is what is contracted by match and not released. On the roomsforyou.co.za, we've accumulated a total of 28,000 possible rooms. What the difference will be between that and what's available on the website will be what those establishments have actually sold themselves. So, and then underneath that, obviously the hotel groups, the B&Bs, and all the aggregators will fall in line. This is just a breakdown of the establishments, and just to say that what has been very interesting for me is that all of the provinces, you have got a number of establishments that have come through. Obviously, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Western Cape are the largest components of that, and that actually reflected the same as the survey, the confidence survey by Horwath. This is just a diagram of what's going to happen. Is right now on the top left, you've got all of the accommodation which is sitting inside of the matched repositories. At release date, which is going to be the 10th of April, any stock that Match do not want to keep will go into this large event rooms repository, which is effectively the rooms for you place. And the hotel will now have three possible ways of selling that room. Either people will walk into their reception, or on their website, or alternatively the rooms for you website, and or Match will actually call for some of their stock back at a point to sell on to people that they have specific needs for. In summary, the system that the department and FedASA have come up with creates a legacy that puts the country into a better position to maximize future tourism revenues for large events. Had this been in place before Match arrived, a lot of the challenges that were faced by collation of data, contracting, and that would have all been of no discussion. Rooms for You not only serves to accomplish this goal, but performs as a platform for tourism growth into the future, protecting all of those in the procurement process, being the tour operators, the guests, and the hotels, specifically until the delivery, completion of delivery. And South African tourism will then stand proud on the world stage in regards to consolidation of both a national database and booking system. The national database would be up to date because it's driven by the establishment, because if their data is not up to date, they're not going to get their money. And the one driver to make sure that people keep up to date is to know that that's where the money sits. So it does two jobs, but at the end of the day, a booking system of this nature will literally revolutionize the country's tourism systems. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. That is FedASA. And let us then quickly go to the next presentation, that is FENPARKS, and then we can ask our questions after both the presentations. Thank you. Should we for about 5 minutes so that we can organize ourselves and then come back and go on with the program, please?
Thank you.
Let us be ready to start. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let us start on with the word Aquarius. Going to proceed in the same manner as we did with the last presentation, that is, ask questions when of clarification only, and then substantive questions then we are going to ask after the presentation. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. The agenda that the National Box is going to go through is just our 2010 strategy. I did present it last time. This is an update on where we are with our strategy, our state of readiness, and then a conclusion just to outline the current situation as of today. And then, of course, the question time. Our first pillar around the strategy that we developed was, of course, that we would only develop sustainable infrastructure. We would not develop anything that we do not feel is going to end up being unsolved after the event. Like Brent has mentioned, we, and I do agree with him, we are going to see some of that happening. So we continue to develop our accommodation as per our infrastructure development plan that we have been working on over the last period of time. We didn't deviate from that at all. We also looked at implementing a tented product over the event period, which we could use as a legacy project for our Kids in Parks project and Honorary Rangers, and we were going to place those tents in the three camps that were allocated in Kruger, namely Sikuza, Pretoria's Kop, and Bachendal. The IDP, the progress in terms of this strategy aspect was that the new accommodation that we had earmarked has been developed or refurbished, depending on what the need was in that camp. And that, whilst there's still a lot outstanding in terms of what we need, we're following that program to eventually get everything to the standard that we require. The proof of concept for the tented product was developed, and we communicated this with Match. Unfortunately, Match did not buy into the concept of tents, and we therefore, due to the uncertainty of the product being sold through the Match system, we felt it was prudent to shelve that project. We did not want to again do something we felt would become a burden financially because it didn't sell through the channels. The concern from Match was that they are used to selling hotel rooms. That's what they've always done. To sell a tent is something a bit different. They were not convinced, especially in winter in Africa. Now, to convince them, winter in Kruger is not like winter in the rest of the world. It's the best time of the year to go.
Don't want to be eaten by lions.
We then we shelved that project. We are continuing with our ongoing refurbishment and development of the camps that we identified in our IDP. And of course, there is a shortfall of budget. There always will be in terms of development requirements. As they were aware, our budgets were cut significantly this year and over the 3-year period. And that means we've got to look at how we operate at the moment and make the best of what we've got. But of course, to continue to drive our key funding resource, which is tourism. And that is our key strategy to fund conservation, and we will continue driving that through our various items like the website, which is real time and does very well for us, which I'll demonstrate now. In terms of the second issue around our strategy was to make sure that we still achieved optimal occupancies in the parks. If you remember, June, July school holidays during any year in Sandbox is our busiest time. With school holidays, we fill up with a South African market to a large extent, and it's rack rate. There's no discounts at that time. So what we did is when we contracted with Match is we only gave 30% of our inventory, we kept the 70% for the South African market, keeping in mind that because the school holiday period is extended, the number of room nights available to the South African market remained the same, because there was now a five-week school holiday period versus a four-week school holiday period. So we didn't take accommodation away from the customers. What we did do, of course, was to keep certain camps from a logistical point of view out of that inventory, so we could manage it if we worked on the matchful concept with Match. Unfortunately, 80% of this was released back of the Match inventory on Friday last week. We first had an initial release of about 9,000 room nights in December as per the contract, and then last week, Friday, we went to Match and said, look, we've looked at what you're selling. We are very uncomfortable. You sold less than 10% of our inventory. We don't believe that your systems are able to sell our type of accommodation, which is self-catering, and there are other aspects like activities, the meals, and gate entry fees, our conservation fees, that make the package look very big, but you can't explain it correctly on your system. So when people try and compare our current rate with what we're offering Match as a package which they wanted, they're saying it's too expensive. And they're not clarifying this for the customer, so we're not getting sales. So we negotiated and they agreed to release everything back to us. We then, on the 4th of March, they released everything other than about 10% of the accommodation we gave them they had booked, and we will honor that agreement, and we'll make sure we look after those customers during that time. We released the rest of that inventory we got back, which is about 14,000 room nights. We released on the 4th of March, and we opened our sales at 7:30. By 5:30 that evening, we had sold two-thirds of that inventory through our website already, booked and paid for. Done. So it shows that the system and the access to the market is correct, you're going to sell. So that has been done. We sit with one-third, which we'll now sell over the next few days. Already on the update this morning, we sold a significant amount again. I've got the figures here. I'm under no doubt that we will sell and be full during the event period with majority South Africans, but also we saw a uptake from the U.S. market through our web reservations, also booking with us directly. So anybody who had access to the internet could see it was now available, and they then booked directly with us. The way forward, we will still work closely with Match, we will make sure that the people that are booked with us are looked after and they get the experience that we have to offer everybody in terms of their meals, their activities, and the transport logistics that are going to be required to make sure they can move backwards and forwards to Match at unusual hours. We will make sure that we, of course, continue working with the public to make sure they're informed of releases and what's available to the South African public through the media, as well as our wildcard database, which is about 100,000 people. We, of course, communicated through that to all our customers to tell them the accommodation was available now, and I think that helped to sell that accommodation pretty quickly. The challenge, of course, is that we also believe the demand to visit the park during the event will be more than supply. So we will have to make sure we manage gate arrivals, make sure that we do not have too many people in the park at any one time, and our rules during that period will be, we'll have to manage it as per managing any conservation areas that will remain in place. Essentially, the third issue was around retaining our committed client base. As I said earlier, we made sure we kept 70% of the inventory, and immediately when we released the Match inventory, it went back to our normal public, and I believe that the majority of what was sold was to the South African public. So I believe we really have met that strategy already and looked after our committed domestic market. In terms of optimizing the marketing strategy and the brand building for South African National Parks, as you know, we launched the Kuduzela which is continuing to sell now, and we're quite happy. I believe that by the end of this month, we should have close to R1 million in income for Sand Parks out of that project, with very little cost. The only thing we did was we registered the trademark name called the Cutuzela. The rest of the product was developed with a partner who carried all the risks and the costs, and we basically a percentage of those sales. So we're very comfortable that we've generated some income for very little work during the event, but we've got our brand out there. We also, of course, and this is where I agree with Brett in terms of working with Match. Through the channels that Match had and access to the tour operators signed up with Match, we developed brochures which went into all the countries listed here through those appointed operators. So our product was able to be distributed through a new channel, which the markets in different markets we don't normally play with, and we believe there will be a benefit to spin off from that because they're now aware of our product in South Africa and they understand how to access that product now as well. Again, we will make sure that we continue using any marketing opportunity that presents itself, and we're looking at various opportunities that are coming up to make sure that we still highlight the park and conservation in general during the event. In terms of the state of readiness, we, of course, as I said, will look after, make sure the visitor experience, whether they're coming on as day visitors or whether they're staying with us, is managed very closely, and that we optimize the visitor experience. In the camps, for example, we will have areas to view the football during that time, like we do currently when we have a big a rugby or a tournament or a football match. We do screen them in our restaurant area. So that will continue, and we'll just working with our partners such as Compass Group, we'll make sure that there are entertainment areas for people to go and watch those matches and be appraised of what's happening in the country for this incredible event. Our task team is operational and currently working on all the issues that are listed below to make sure that we cover all those key areas and make sure that we manage every aspect during the event so we're not caught unaware of something that could crop up. The safety and security aspect is a key one that we're managing very closely. We're also working with SATSA in terms of the crime reporting initiative that was launched with them, a tourism safety campaign, and we're making sure that we're reporting to that so there's a collation of data of crime incidents and potential crime incidents in the country from a tourism perspective. That will feed into the SAPS database at the JOCs and the Joint Operations Centres so they can start getting a trend of what's happening. One of the key concerns we have around safety and security is the potential of strike and service delivery process, specifically around key tourist areas such as Cape Point, Table Mountain, and Kruger National Park, which we believe we've already had an incident where the access roads from Hazyview to Kruger National Park were blocked off, where tourists and tourist guides on vehicles were threatened, and that is a concern that if this happens during that time, it's going to have a very negative outlook, and we have to make sure we are aware of what's going on and manage very closely with the security authorities in that area, of which we are through with our safety and security personnel within the parks. So that we are working on. Essentially, the parks are virtually fully booked. The only areas that are not booked at the moment are the areas such as Tsitsikamma, Wilderness, the areas where we're going to have the winter rainfall area, and that is not unusual to our normal demand during those times. So we're not concerned about that. But if you are looking at getting away from it all, Tsitsikamma and Wilderness are available. And Edo is actually still available as well, some accommodation there. In conclusion, Sandparks, I believe, has actively participated in the whole event in terms of working with Match, and to making sure that we are offering was communicated out into the through the Match channels. We were sad that the receptiveness to the camping products, the unique products that we had the ability to sell, was disappointing. There was a lack of a bit of risk taking on their part there. We did identify that, I believe, early, and we acted quickly to mitigate against the shortcoming of having a situation where we had an unhappy South African public who couldn't get accommodation and then sitting with empty rooms. So I think we've responded at the right time and we will have full parks over that time. And of course, as I said, the sales of accommodation in the other parks are in line with previous years during July school holidays. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I think then we shall have to ask our questions and perhaps get answers to how then we believe brand South African tourism is going to be strengthened from what message perhaps do we convey to support the brand? How do we make one brand of all the different provinces, and how do we communicate the destination, and that is the destination South Africa, to people that will visit us during the World Cup, and people that will then so as to encourage people to visit South Africa thereafter and build tourism in South Africa to be even stronger. So over to you, Mr. Grumbok, then Ms. Shin.
Thanks. Thanks, Chairperson. Questions are a little bit related, but the first one would be to Mr. Phillips from Sandpark. The scenario he sketched for us with respect to matches, quite disappointing marketing efforts, clearly is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, Sandparks are to be congratulated for identifying the risk so early and so effectively dealing with it. On the other hand, I think everybody was really hoping that 2010, the FIFA World Cup, would be an opportunity to bring a whole new set of tourists to our country. And one would have hoped that many of them would have actually taken up these rooms that Match had originally booked and gone back as brand ambassadors for our country and said, you know, there's this fantastic place in Africa and we saw all these animals and, you know, we've got to go out there again and boost our tourism industry. What we've now got, it would seem, from the presentation, is mainly South Africans taking up those rooms and they already know about this and they're not going to be going to America and telling people to come out here. So what I wanted to ask was, of the few remaining rooms that you do have left, you mentioned 80% of the accommodation in the Kruger Park, but clearly the others like Tsikama and others might be, there might be a greater percentage of vacancies. Is there going to be any special effort using your own innovative marketing techniques overseas to try target many of those vacancies with overseas people and achieve the original benefit that was intended from 2010? So that's my question to Sandparks. And then to Mr. Dungan from Fed Hasa. Those of us have got long memories and remember when he last appeared before us, he said somewhat presciently that the figure of 475,000 potential visitors to 2010 perhaps was a figure peddled by people who wanted a far greater budgetary allocation for their portfolios. Now, whether that's true or not, we all, I think, took that into account and raised the eyebrows, but I think events have proved him right, and we're now looking presently at maybe between 300,000 and 350,000. I accept what Fed Hasa has said to us about the pricing on the hotels, but I'd like his opinion on South African Airways. Studies have been done, and I'm not sure whether this is incorporated by the Department of Tourism through the Ministry, but it would appear that South African Airways are charging a lot more than almost every other airline during this period, and their price hikes are far greater than any other airline. Would he be in a position to give us his opinion on what that impact might have been, or how much of the lesser and disappointing numbers that we're now expecting from overseas isn't his opinion due to that type of pricing? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. I just want to a point of clarity from Sandparks. You said 30% of the inventory was handed across to Match, as you said, but more than 80% of this was released back. So that is that 80% of the 30%? Okay. So they've only sold 10% of the accommodation. Yeah, okay. And I presume that you've been making additional efforts to market overseas, or not? Are you? Okay, thank you.
Then Mam Pamu Mukwanya to be followed by Honorable Sigalala and then Honorable John.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a very disappointed and despondent Eastern Cape resident. I am therefore going to be maybe very corrosive, but otherwise I'm crying over spilt milk, maybe. Of the numbers that have been specified in the Rooms for You program, and you state that there are 187 verified establishments, would it be made, would it perhaps be too cumbersome to state whether these the residences or establishments are anywhere beyond East London and Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape? Do you have any interested FMMEs that have been keen to get involved with MET? Because MET is a dirty word where I come from, because the standards have been exceedingly high, the expectations. And nobody has done anything, not FEDASA, not anybody has done anything to assist in upgrading these SMME establishments. Now, the second question is the number of SMMEs in this sector, in the hospitality sector, that have been left behind in the participation for accommodation facilities during this period after investing so much in the renovation. What has been done to rescue these people? Because obviously now that there has been a rejection of East London and Mthatha as base camp, obviously accommodation needs have lessened. What is going to be happening about those people? To the PACS people, PACS board, or SANPACS, sorry, to SANPACS, in the Eastern Cape, which PACS have been MET compliant? Thank you.
Chairperson. Pricing on the hotel. Is there a possibility that there could be a room for 5,000 rand per night or what, whenever? And when and how? Could you just expand on that one? Something has been said, but I just want to know, as a layman, when and how does a hotel get liquidated? When and how? And a number of SMMEs. In the hospitality sector feel that they have been left behind in the participation for accommodation facilities during this period after investing so much in renovations and so forth. What is FEDASA doing to assist these members in making sure that their accommodation is utilized it also applies to the poor, the poorest of the poor, who have renovated their B&Bs, more especially, you know, in the rural areas, whereby now nothing is, no one is interested. The last one, Sun Parks. I just have interest because I belong to, I come from Gauteng, and I must be very knowledgeable about, you know, some of these things. Kruger National Park, where is it situated actually? Is it Mpumalanga, Limpopo provinces? I just want to be clear so that I can tell a good story when a visitor asks me. Thank you.
The Mozambican will say Mozambican first.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me first apologize for my late coming. My flight was delayed in this London. You know, I'm interested in this question of the fence, even though it looks as if the idea has been thrown out. I'm not quite sure whether we are talking about what I saw displayed on TV, some green tents which were supposed to assist with accommodation. Yes, there was a shortage of accommodation. That's how I seem to have got it myself. But I just can't remember who actually advertised those tents. But now that you're talking about tents, that it makes me ask the question, because we were saying, well, why should we have, wherever we're going to have them, why should we have tents to add to accommodation when we actually have people in the peri-urban areas, SMMEs in the peri-urban areas, and people also in the rural towns and rural areas who would like to participate in terms of accommodating some of our visitors for the 2010 FIFA World Cup? Instead of putting up extra tents, why not involve those other sort of marginalized people and give them the opportunity to participate? Now, secondly, on the question of pricing, I don't know. This negative impression is still on. I just saw an article this morning in the Daily Dispatch. Probably this has nothing to do with the data, but still, it's about 2010. Maybe you might want to comment on that, whether you are associated with this group or not. And it says in the paper here, it's the 2010 Soccer World Cup Randburg rental. I don't know whether you are associated with that. Someone has actually mentioned here some Tracy Pugin. Who says that they have offered the people providing accommodation? They've offered them some tenants. They've offered the landlords some tenants, but these landlords are rejecting these tenants because I think they consider the price to be low. Meanwhile, she says, they have offered tenants who are willing to pay 50,000 rand for 16 days. And she says normally for a month in Randburg, these places usually bring about 8,000 to about 12,000 a month. In other words, she says they were offering the landlords this 50,000, which is about 5 to 6 times more than the usual pricing, but they are rejecting it. So I'm saying then this perception about people wanting to take advantage of 2010 and raising the prices unnecessarily, it is still up in the air. And what are you going to do about it? The fact that it is continuing and it is so late now, you know, actually it's even saying here that together with the high prices of the airlines, and the high prices that are offered by the landlord, this is tending to discourage the ordinary people from coming for the 2010 FIFA World Cup. I would like your comment on that. Now, to send part, I think you are really, you seem to be quite happy with the progress that is made with the bookings in the national park, and you quote in particular the Kruger National Park. I wanted to find out whether the distance of the park from the venue of the match would probably affect the bookings in those parks. In other words, are people taking park accommodation in parks that are closer to the venues of the matches, or would you say that people would be willing or seem willing to take accommodation in parks that are far away from the venues of the matches? And this would go for the Eastern Cape in particular, where we don't have a single match there. That's going to be, oh, by the way, there is in PE, only in PE. Sorry about that. We tend to think that we've all been isolated. We forget that PE is actually in the Eastern Cape, it is, and we benefit from that, I must say. But then, if only PE, and the Eastern Cape is such a big, big, big province, but we've got parks all over, would the distance then from PE, for example, and also in other parts of the country, from the venues affect the bookings? Thank you very much. Oh, yes. I also wanted to say, you assume that you are disappointed with the response from Match, yeah, with the offers that you have made, and so on and so forth. I don't know what you want this committee to do about that. Do you want the committee, for instance, to take this up, or are you just telling us about your disappointment with Match? Is there anything we can do? And is Match aware, for instance, of your concerns about their responses to your offers? Thank you very much.
The last one in this round will be Honorable Ma Luleke.
Thank you, Chair. Looking at the distribution of venues, what is FEDESA doing to ensure that its members in the hospitality sector, especially those in the rural areas, also benefit from this World Cup? On the issue of parks, there are disturbing reports that a heritage site of Mapunguvie magnitude has been under attack through the granting of mining rights to the Australian-owned company called of Africa for the Vele Collar. What process of engagement happened between the department and mineral resource through the process? Concerns on the future status of Mapungubwe as a World Heritage Site have been raised by the World Conservation Union. What steps has the department taken to engage with such structures in reassurance that the status quo of Mapungubwe will not be affected? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think those are the questions. But I think also the we need to know the role of that has been played by the government to facilitate partnerships between the SMMEs and the FEDASA on one side, and perhaps SANParks. I think business is business, and one of the presenters in the World Tourism the Summit said that there is no Teresa in business. There is no Mother Teresa in business. So we accept that, but for partnerships, I think they have to be encouraged, and perhaps there has to be to be an enabling environment for mutual benefit between partners. Is there any role that you find has been played by by these. And to sand parks, are there any initiatives that you are involved in which promote small tour operators that operate, say, between Nelspruit and Krugersdorp or the other airports that I think it is Johannesburg and it could also be Limpopo. Are we perhaps supporting the small tour operators in those areas? If so, what are the details? And if not, what do you think government should do to in the line of encouragement and incentives in order to promote such a situation? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I can, the question that you said also. First of all, the SAA answer is the restriction here, apart from the SADC countries, is that anyone who wants to get here has to fly. The exception's been, I think, there are three ships coming into Cape Town. That's One Ocean Club, which is another whole discussion. But the fact of the matter is that all the airlines held their bookings back. You know, the bookings for 2010 only opened recently. A lot of the SAA bookings in a deal with Emirates, who are the actual official sponsors. So when you say that they're expensive, is I think there are also two parts to it. There's a traditional flight, and then there's going to be all of their charter flights in-country. So have the airlines played a big role in what or who's coming to the thing? I think, yes, it has. But everyone keeps on saying that the event is over and we're only 100 or 93 days. We are still 93 days. And the question is, what are we going to do in these 93 days? Sandparks have shown what they've been able to do once their stock is available. So I think that what we have to do is just make sure that people understand that all of this is going to happen later than they maybe were expecting. This country will be full over that period of time. And if not by World Cup guests, it's going to end up being holidaymakers going away, like Glenn says, on their normal holiday. Everyone's away from school for 5 weeks. And any of us with children will well know that you're not going to sit at home for that time. So, yes, the SAA costs further clouded by the competitive survey, which they've gone to the Competition Commission with a whole lot of information. I find that very interesting. At the end of the day, all these airlines are under huge financial pressure. And if they are bankrupt, we, the taxpayers, are the ones who are paying their way. So for us all, it's a double-edged sword as to whether SAA makes money over this time or not. So the answer is I hope that they're successful. What I do know is that as bookings go, more than anything else, is if there's a competitive price, they will then not get the booking compared to someone who is cheaper offering a similar service. What I do know that from that side is where there is an unreasonable pricing mechanism in place for flights, that they're actually putting on charter flights to make sure that the pricing then becomes realistic. So I think that's under control. Again, I think that so much emphasis was put on the hospitality and accommodation providers for this World Cup, and people did not focus on the logistics, which was the travel tour operators and airlines, car hires and the likes. Mr. Chair, you helped me through a very difficult time there by saying that business was business. And I know this is a lot of questions, and I have to say that from a FedOSA point of view, this constant what are we doing for the SMMEs, we have to get past that. Everyone, anyone who enters business has got to understand if they want business, they've got to go and find it. And if a business is spending time and money investing in their own establishment and not on marketing, that's the wrong way around. And anyone who has gone through all of this refurbishment that I'm hearing about, I feel very sorry for. I also am terribly dismayed at the fact that we sent out emails and SMSs to every single SMME on the registered databases, collated from the provinces, from National, from South African Tourism, Tourism Grading Council, Tourism Enterprise Program, FEDASA, SATSA, and ASATA, all of those databases. And this is the result of those that actually took the time to register. Now, if someone's saying it's simply because they don't have access to internet, I can no longer accept that. Because all it is a trip from where they stay to a internet cafe to actually make the effort. And it just is, it constantly comes back at us. And I'm saying anyone who has got involved in tourism has to understand tourism will only succeed or be sustainable if there are people coming into their business. So you say there's no Mother Teresa's. There are lots of people willing to help, but only willing to help people that want to help themselves. And I'm tired. I really am emotionally tired of constantly coming up against this. We have an issue that there are not enough people to fill all the beds that are available. So anyone who opens up a B&B, and the banks might be at fault if they're lending money, the tourism authorities might be at fault for telling people that this is the dream job. It is a tough business. I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or not. But I just, there are so many tools. If you asked for help, there are so many tools available. But you know what? You actually have to ask. And then more than that, you've actually got to take the action and do it. And I really just think that it comes a time where we've actually got to say, if you want to help yourself, it's there. And, you know, of 18,000, I have spent 50,000 rand just on sending out emails and SMS. So I didn't just do the emails because of the database of 18. This is from the national database. So it's the most up-to-date database available, which is 202,000 rooms. I only could send 15,000 emails because that was the only ones I had addressed. I then sent SMSs to those who hadn't put in email addresses. And the response of registration, not even of placing their rooms, was 2,000 establishments. That's not acceptable. But we've also got to get to a point where the provinces have got to understand that their survival and actual implementation and role is to make sure the people in their areas are committed. So I just want to show you, this is the map of, if we go down to PE, and this is the rooms for you. So it says, that's the stadium. We've given it a 2010 focus because that's obviously the driver. Find accommodation near here. It comes up with all of those establishments that are actually have taken the time to register. And if you look here, Blueview B&B, East London, Port Elizabeth. So what I'm saying is all they had to do was make the effort, and they're here and online. So will they be full if they don't do anything? The answer is no, they won't. Will they be despondent? Will they spend money? Yes, they will have. But the committee has to go back to the constituents and say, provinces, what are you doing? What are the provinces in PE? And I mean, all the issues of whether it's now a match team base camp or whatever, PE is still going to have visitors. It has the games in PE. It needs to have accommodation. Now, if those tourism departments and that are so jacked up that people can go to a central place, but what I'm saying is it's not reflecting on an internet or web-based place where people can get that access. So, from the SME and the provinces, the registration, all the tools are there, all the communication's gone out. So, more than that, and if we can get help, I mean, Tourism Enterprise Program have spent many millions of rand on tourism grading. They went out and they spent money on grading. Some of the places haven't renewed their grading. Now again, I understand why they won't renew their grading if they don't have people. But we need to understand before you make your place a five-star place, you actually need to have people staying in it. And that's where everything's gone wrong. It's that whole issue of teaching people to, you know, fish as opposed to giving them fish. That is our job. This tourism industry can create huge amounts of jobs if we allow the people to actually take the lead. The lost chances, I'm telling you that we're going to sit here, if I get called back ever, in July, and we're going to say what we didn't do. And that makes me very sad. I hear we're spending billions on stadiums, billions on infrastructure, billions on everything, but we are not spending any money on getting the establishments in line. And that worries me. The provinces, and I really, luckily working for myself, I'm not, the provinces are not doing their jobs. And it is sickening, because at the end of the time, they're spending huge amounts of money. I don't know how many of the provinces are sitting at ITB right now, but what are they doing? What are they selling? And if it's ITB, the big travel show, international travel show in Berlin, if they don't have a platform for people to go and actually buy from, they are not doing their job. And the B&B, if it gets one night's accommodation, is far better off than any fancy dinner that gets had or at a special event or anything like that. And that's the questions this committee's got to be asking. The same questions you're asking, what is FedOS doing? What are the provinces doing? FedOS is a membership-driven association. If you tell me or tell the provinces to make sure their members are my members, that's already doing something for them, because I at least give them the tools to make money. And like you said, Mr. Chair, this is not a handout thing. It's about business. And that's supply and demand at the right price. That's it. Let me go before I get lynched. The 50,000 or 5,000 room, ma'am, is cheap. You can get rooms for 70, 100, 200,000 rand a night. But that would be the top floor of the palace at the Lost City. It would be the penthouse suites at Zimbali. It would be Zingita. So to pay 5,000 rand is actually quite a cheap room in comparison. So when people say I paid 5,000 rand a room, the question is, for what room, where, and when? Okay. Because you can also get to stay at the presidential suite at the Monte Cassino if you win the jackpot. And that room actually is free. That's what they give out, okay? So we need to just be very careful. There are rooms of this thing. I think Necker Island, which is Richard Branson's private island, Necker Island, is something like $75,000 a night. That, however, does seat 10 people. It does have butler service. It does have airplanes and, in fact, I believe a submarine. So the question is that, yes, you can spend an incredible amount of money on a room. But it's not just a room. It is not a Formula One room in town. Because I tell you, you can also get a room for 500 rand.
Exactly. So
we need to understand that it is a business. As you buy clothes from Pep stores or from Gucci, they both clothes, but they are two completely different items. One is a perception, they still might keep you warm or not, or whatever it is, but they are still performing the same role. The only choice is who's got the money to go into the one or the other. So please, this pricing issue is just, that's what we do. If all of our hotel was at 370 rand a night, we'd have the same issue here in the portfolio committee saying, why don't we have five-star hotels? So we're actually in a tough position here, because the nice thing in our business, if we don't have guests and we don't have staff, it's a perfect business. Unfortunately, without staff and guests, our business is very, very difficult. Liquidation of a business, it is a business. The moment that you cannot afford to pay your creditors, you can be closed down or obviously go into voluntary liquidation. The problem with hotels is it is a very public and outgoing nature. So it's a lot more of a news item if a hotel closes down than if a shoe store closes down. But just as shoe stores come and go in the V&A and any other shopping center, so do hotels. What invariably happens is that there's always someone who can do a better job than you. So as a hotelier, you can always sell it to someone else who thinks they can do what you can't do. What I am saying is, and I thought it would happen after the event, is that hotels are and will be closing down before the event. So now let's talk about Match and the contract there, is they are holding that money in escrow. So the issues with Queensgate, which is going now, their money was not in escrow. They tried to use the money that was in deposit for forward booking to try and survive up until that point. Unfortunately, they weren't able to sustain it. And as a result, the money that should have been used for then disappeared. Okay. because those accounts should be what we call escrow accounts and don't come into the financials of the company until that point. So that's what we've got to protect. And all of this process I'm talking about now is educating people on how business should be run. There's nothing in this room for you that's special. What it is a collation of all the rooms. It's all the tourism grading, the Thompson levy, it's the money in escrow, it's the putting it on the internet real time. It's all of those kind of things. So the thing that we as an industry need help from the committee is to make sure that everyone has the same mindset. Okay. SMME again, I think we've dealt with that. The pricing of 50,000 Rand is that receipt. Again, the issue is that they went out and said to all the homeowners, if you sell your house or put your house out in the market, we will sell it. So let's just say it's a four-bedroom house in Stanton. They may well have put the house on the market, and they've now put it up for the 16 days, 50,000 Rand. The first question is, if you divide 50,000 Rand by 16 nights, it's 3,000 Rand a night. And if it's a four-bedroom house, it's less than 1,000 Rand a head. Now, if that's the accommodation you're looking for, that's not a bad price. What's happened, though, is that those people have just made a strange realization. Where are they going? Because they've just sold their house. Now, Glenn says he's got availability at 500 Rand a night. They have to take their family of four away for 16 days, and let's just say Glenn was charging 2,000 Rand a night just for this exercise. He doesn't, but anyway. I'm sure he's got one room that's 2,000. It's now 16 times 2, which is 32,000, plus they're still going to pay their bond on their existing house. So 50,000 Rand, what the calculation of those tenants are that turned that down, is that they actually aren't making any money. Okay. So this is the kind of stuff I wish that the newspapers would put there, rather than that, because that's a sensationalist article. But the logic of it and the process of it is that, and like I said, if my brother sells his house for 50,000 Rand a month and then says he wants to come and stay with me, I'm going to want some of that money as well. So that's accommodation, and everyone putting their rooms in is not helping, because we've got enough accommodation, and we've got accommodation on the people that actually sell accommodation for a living, a sustainable business. And what all of these issues are doing is taking that business away from traditional businesses. On the issue of match, and it's come up a lot of times, if anyone's at fault, it's the hoteliers that are at fault. It's the country that is at fault. Because we should never have given up all the other channels of sale just because match was here. Match are the ones who are doing this conference. And they have come and said, I need so many rooms, and everyone sat back and said, well, if they're here, we don't need to do anything. The hoteliers at the time were doing incredibly well. There was no talk of a downturn at that time, so they sold rooms for silly prices. So a lot of them decided not to contract with Match because they would be able to do better. Nobody knew that at this point in time we wouldn't have the availability or the accommodation surplus that we have now. And it's only because of that that all of a sudden everyone's saying, well, here's my accommodation. But Match have got the same problem that the hoteliers would have, regardless of the event, is who's going to be coming to take these rooms. And again, I say, we will be full, but it might not necessarily be from the stock of people. The other thing on the question of how many people it is, whether it's 100, 200, or 300,000, what the big question is, and we will only know post-event, is how long are those people staying? Because 300,000 people for three nights is going to be a lot less business than 100,000 people for 10 nights. And that's what we've got to do. And that's where we've got to make sure that the people who come to the country are enjoying themselves and stay and find that the pricing is reasonable. And I have no doubt that's going to happen. Okay. I think that's covered everyone's question. No. The Eastern Cape. and down, you know, through the garden route as well. What everyone, nobody understands this country in distance. And as well as we know that you could travel from PE to Cape Town, and it's possible, and basically from PE up to Durban, is the challenge is that the visitors we're getting, a two-hour trip would normally take them through three countries. You know, and that's what we saw in Germany. The people were driving through, catching the ferry through, and driving through France into Germany. So it's just going to be a perception, and I see that will be picked up when we get the last-minute bookings when people are here. When people are battling with flights between two zones, we'll be traveling up and down. On what the bookings are, the site only goes live on the 15th of March. What is upsetting is that there are only 25... or in that area, 75 establishments that have even taken the time to register.
Thank you. The government is where it is, the governing party is where it is because of the participation of the have-nots. It is unfortunate to hear you saying, having this kind of attitude, maybe I'm overreacting about babysitting SMMEs. SMMEs, by virtue of this country and the history of this country, are supposed to be babysat. The Mother Teresa story does not hold anything. It is for those they have, not for the have not.
Let me put it in context. I have committed my life to uplifting the SMMEs.
Chairperson, I'm still on the floor. And for us to come and denigrate the ignorance or the lack of performance of maybe which is maybe loaded onto the irresponsibility of the provinces in their marketing or in their marketing strategies is unfortunate. And I am saying that the SMMEs should have been taken on board. And number two, match, like I said, is a swear word because the match standards do not actually cater for the SMMEs. It's only those SMMEs that have been in business for some time that maybe can make it to match. It has been a tough uphill ride for the SMMEs to even make a one star in terms of match expectations. Now, if, therefore, we need to focus on beneficiation of our communities, we need to have looked into, and in one of the sessions, it was not your session, in one of the sessions, I was asking why and how on earth, who actually engaged MATCH, because I know it is a package that has come up with FIFA, but that should not have been allowed because we have got a different community mix from those from all over the world. MATCH has got very, very high standards, or the people that are working for MATCH who do even TAP, for instance, they even their standards, they do not even cater for that. But now, who is coming to upgrade the SMMEs so that they benefit from FIFA? From this World Cup. Nobody has done so. Maybe it was the fault of our committees, or maybe it was the fault of the provinces, like you are saying, that do not really reach out. But it is a very, very sad story to hear somebody overtly, excluding and talking a Mother Teresa story to us. Yes, the chairperson can do that because it's what he was quoting, what he heard somebody saying. But to have that really baptized in our committee, that the SMMEs, they really have got to jack themselves up, they have got to spend if they want business. Yes, we know you've got to spend, but
somebody has got to help the SMEs climb the hill. They've got to walk the walk with the SMEs so that the SMEs also do benefit from the World Cup. After all, they are in the majority, and they are the people who should be benefiting. But unfortunately, the whole system seems to have dumped the SMEs. It is survival of the fittest, and the SMEs, unfortunately, are not fit, therefore they cannot survive. So please, let us concentrate on focusing on the upgrading of the SMEs at all costs. Thank you.
Well, let us do this first. When we began with our presentation, we did not actually pronounce on our mandates. Because I think sometimes it becomes very, 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 very important to pronounce on the mandate and what the whole the organization is, and then go on with presentation, because some of the things are responsibilities of a government rather than some of the institutions, but the facilitation then can be done by business. But I think this is a two-way game. Actually pronouncing your mandate, what you are about, I think would assist in taking this discussion forward. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the association is out to assist establishments that are playing in the hospitality industry. There are backpackers, there are B&Bs, there are hotels. Different courses for different folk, looking for different things. All I'm saying is that there are departments, and if there's an anger, and what I'm understanding about this committee is to give an overview of what is happening in tourism. And if that means that there's some realities that come out, all I'm saying is then let's guide the issues to where the problems are. But my association works on membership. So do any of the SMEs actually belong to me? Not unless they want to and not unless they pay for that. Is there a special rate for them? Without a doubt there is. Because we want to make sure the tourism industry on the BEE charter has actually scored more than anyone was ever anticipating. So there are no issues about does anyone want to make it work or not make it work. But there comes a point where you can no longer not have a system in place. Now, if it's the province's job, and if all of the places in Port Elizabeth and East London are SMEs, then someone should have woken up earlier than now and said, how are we going to deal with that issue? Because Match never wanted less than the 3, 4, and 5-star fit-for-purpose category stuff. In negotiations, they took the B&Bs and the SMEs on a special contract, which they knew would be more difficult. That's why we didn't want ships and all of those kind of things, because it was easier to contract one ship of 3,000 rooms than 5,000 individual B&Bs with one or two rooms. So there's no doubt that there was an intention to actually make things better. I'm just saying that no B&B should have spent money on any refurbishment or upgrade until they knew that there were bookings coming through. And what they should have spent money on, and had they asked the question, should have been on actually getting bookings as opposed to updoing their establishment and then having the additional costs and no bookings coming through.
We're all very busy, and no doubt the people from Sand Parks and Set House are busy too. And we don't meet as often as we like, and we always run out of time to ask questions anyway. And, you know, it's not a perfect system, but we do what we can. In order to make it as best or as good as it can be, may I please ask through you, Chairperson, that we direct questions to the people that appear before this committee that they can actually answer to, because it falls within the mandate and what they are supposed to do. I don't think it's fair to interrogate them and intimidate them on topics of which they have no control whatsoever and which they don't exist to do. So please can we do that, and then these meetings will be more productive and we can actually get the answers we need. I mean, next thing you're asking, if they'd ask her to do something about the price of oil, I mean, it's getting out of control now, with respect. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair?
Well,
let us try and look at the issues that can be delivered within the capacities and the resources and the mandate of the organization. And it becomes very difficult for anyone, for instance, that is not representing British Airways to talk on behalf of British Airways. It becomes very, very difficult. So let us just answer questions that we are, and then what we believe does not believe belong to our mandate. Let us pronounce it that way, that this unfortunately does not belong to our mandate. I think it is going to be easier.
Chairperson, thank you. If you talk of your mandate and you stray into other people's mandate, therefore, the onus is on you to bear the brunt. I am saying, if we're talking SMME language, you touch on SMME. You are touching on a territory that is widespread, that is multifaceted. And therefore, if you talk by the same token, if you talk of business development and you talk of lack of marketing strategies, and you're mentioning SMMEs, that's a broad term. You may be marketing SMMEs in whichever forum they participate. But here we happen to have been talking about hospitality industry, particularly the FEDASA, which is formed of memberships from the participating outlets or the participating accommodations or hotels, and if there are any SMMEs who have managed to climb the ladder, then they may be contributing and subscribing to FEDASA. But I am saying that if we're talking the SMME language, let us not really denigrate those people because they are not competent.
Listen before then we get answers from FEDEC.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm wondering if you can help me. I've had two very different conversations this weekend, one of which is a guest house owner from the Durbanville end of the world, who said that her rooms have been given back to her by Match, and she was told that most of the sort of low-end B&B accommodation has been allocated to people in places like Soweto, that apparently you can't get a room in Soweto anymore if you wanted a B&B accommodation. The second one was an ANC activist in Khayelitsha, who I spoke to on Sunday. And he said there isn't any more B&B accommodation available in Khayelitsha. And he said that because Match was pushing people who wanted that kind of accommodation into the black areas. Do you have any insight on this? Is it true? Is it just, you know, one of those sort of urban legends? I'd appreciate some feedback.
Yes, I think, given the expectations and perhaps the fact that there was no national shared vision around the 2010 World Cup, everybody had their expectation. And then that expectation sometimes is going to be realized, some expectations are going to be realized,
some are not going to be realized. But for a good strategist, they look at the situation as given and say, this is the time we have, and what do we do from now? I think there are a lot of SMMEs are unhappy. But the thing is, when we are unhappy, let us look at the given and strategize around that, rather than perhaps pointing fingers. Because if we point fingers, we are not going to learn anyway. We have to say, hey, it's tough. But given the situation, how do we move from here? What are the tools? How can we recoup the situation? Can we perhaps, given the information, move ahead and do 1, 2, and 3? That is the time to do that now, in the 93 days. The different provinces, the different areas. The choice of match venues was not made by anybody except the team coaches and their management. So now, if perhaps they did not land in our area, let us now say, what then do we do as that entity? Because we can have a passionate positions, but if they are not going to address our situation at the end of the day, it is not going to assist. We have to go to the drawing board and say, right, we tried our best, we refurbish our homes, and what do we do from now? How do we advertise ourselves? Are the tools from FEDASA enough? If there are enough, can we join in that type of situation? But addressing a given, because if we do not work with givens and we work with assumptions, we are not going to get results, the desired results. So I think that is the approach within which we have to move on, an approach that says, how do we benefit from where we are? We are in a ditch, and the ditch has these dimensions. How do we get out of that ditch? I think if we adopt that approach, then we are going to move forward robustly, but productively. I am not saying that people should not be robust, but it should be in a productive way.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, the whole reason Rooms for You was done as a joint initiative with FEDASA and the Department of Tourism was to address this issue. We saw this coming, and, you know, at the time when you put it in place, people say, why are you doing it? Everything was contracted, and we just know what's going to happen. It's happened before, and it'll happen again after. The tools are our tools to work, SMMEs, hotels, government, and private sector. What we need to do is we need to get the SMMEs to register through whatever channels you have available, provincial or assistance channels, to get them to register and put their accommodation on real time. We also need everyone to start talking about this site as the definitive accommodation portal, because it's no use having these people on the site if they don't have people coming to buy from it. So if you ask on the steps to go, that's what the steps are. And whatever the power is of this committee to actually influence the provinces and bodies underneath, then that's what I would ask for. But we have 93 days to do it. And when those people are here, there will be internal travel. People will need to talk and pass people on to other establishments. But until then, what isn't on the site in the next 60 days will not be sold to international visitors, because they will not be making their decision to travel after 60 days from now. So what we do not have on our side is time.
How many establishments potentially are there, and how many have actually registered? So again, our food just said 2,000 out of 202,000, 1%, is that correct?
On this portal, not the ones that I've affiliated to. So what I've done is taken aggregators and added them on. So the large portion of rooms, although it's not a large number of establishments, is then the major hotel. That's the 55,000 rooms. There's 40,000 that we won't see, which is a subcontracted match that won't come back to us. And on the 28,000 of a possible 150,000 SMME rooms that is already on the site. So the job is to get the other 120,000 SMME rooms registered, and however many establishments that is, but it will obviously be anywhere about 8 to 10,000 establishments.
So 120,000 SMEs,
but the SMEs, well, all together through the aggregate, 3,500.
Well, Honorable Tumbo, you've got a team in your area, so do not worry. Then, Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Chair. In answer to the questions, the first one, in terms of the response to the releases and how we still entice some of that foreign market and that new market for the future. When we released this accommodation inventory, we also notified all our operators. Essentially, the way Sandparks works is we don't have big marketing budgets, so we contract with operators that bring in tourists from overseas. Excuse me. And we sent that afternoon, we also sent our communication to all our tour operators that this inventory is coming available. And this email is just a response from one of them, Far and Wild Safaris, who then took up the offer and made reservations for people. And these majority of these operators are dealing with overseas markets. So essentially, I think we will get foreign visitors coming in. It might not be the volumes we had hoped, and unfortunately, we won't be able to manage them as well as we would have liked to in those three camps in Kruger, for example. But I do believe we will get some, and we'll continue dealing with through those networks to make sure we entice some of that market continually with that accommodation. In terms of the Eastern Cape question as to what hotels were there. I should have found that one. Give me a second. My map. Where's my map now? The properties in the Eastern Cape, just if you look at the slide here, that were match compliant. Essentially, if you remember correctly, the department negotiated with Match at the beginning to say that we want to make sure we push grading from a standards perspective. And therefore, we also, from a Sandparks perspective, made sure we were graded and met the criteria as demanded for the contract. And the parks that we looked at, of course, were Addo, Mountain Zebra, and Tsikama. So those are the ones that we operate in the Eastern Cape, and they were all match compliant, and we gave 30% of that inventory to them. The difficult, because we're a self-catering organization, it was a difference, and I think it's similar to the issue around the timeshare market. Why it was released, it's a different concept to a normal hotel room where there's a restaurant downstairs, and that's one of the reasons why I think that was released. But essentially, Addo, again, because of its location to a stadium, I think will fill up. We will get that accommodation because it's right there. Fishy Matlawini Camp, which is an hour away on the southern gate entrance of Addo, I think we will fill up without a doubt there. So those that we will see accommodation happening in those areas, definitely. Craddock may be a bit too far, but I think Tsikama, because it's on the garden route, will definitely fill up as well, shortly in that time. And it may be last minute booking. And then, while I'm on that slide, in terms of where Kruger sits, we have two provinces as part of the Kruger National Park, as you mentioned, Mpumalanga and Limpopo. And of course, we have a whole lot of municipalities that are also part of the process all along the park as well. But yes, it sits between two provinces completely. If animals, for example, leave the park and they go into the Mpumalanga section, Mpumalanga Parks takes charge of that. And if they go into Limpopo section, Limpopo Parks takes charge of that. So that's the relationship we have with the provinces there. The question around the use of the distance from the venues. I think that's one of the reasons that Match gave us why they didn't sell the approved accommodation. I don't necessarily support the reason. They felt that because Nelspruit got a bad draw in terms of who was playing there, they believed the demand was not sufficient. But the idea for a match ball was that people could stay in Kruger in the morning of a match, whether it be in Cape Town or Johannesburg or PE, could be picked up, transported to the KMI airport or from the Sikusa airport, fly to the destination and come back in the evening. That was the idea of the Mashal concept. So I think it is related, the fact that, as you mentioned, Cape Town, Gauteng are full in terms of accommodation, is related directly to where those venues are, the major and the key venues. And what I've understood from Match as well in our discussions with them is that to a large degree, your people that are controlling the corporates and the Match, the official FIFA people, they all want to stay in those hubs to a large degree. Some of them are traveling to game reserves as in between the matches that have been arranged through two operators, but to a large degree, it has been centered around those key reserves, and the distance does play, has played some form of role within making a decision as to where you stay. In terms of do I want the committee to do anything about the Match, the us being disappointed? No, I think we worked very closely. Hami, Byron, and myself have been all the way through, worked very closely. When we negotiated the contract right at the beginning, it was through him, so we know we have a very close relationship. And I think they're aware of it. I think they're disappointed as much as we are. But again, it's a situation where I'm comfortable we played our role to the point that we could, and eventually we had to say, listen, let's look after our interests and not sit with empty inventory, and hence we negotiated. So I'm comfortable they're very well aware of the situation. In terms of the Makhmugupwe mining rights story, I do not get involved in that side. The department is involved. I deal really with the tourism side of the park. It is a concern for national parks, naturally, and a World Heritage Site, of course, a huge concern. But it is the department itself is dealing with on an interdepartmental basis in terms of those mining rights. But from my point of view, I cannot give you any answer on that at this point. In terms of partnerships and what we are doing about partnerships and initiatives for the operators, there are definitely initiatives. One of them is a park and ride facility that we're developing at all our gates. The first one is going to be based at Ballaboola, the pilot project. We see a huge demand of hotels and bed and breakfast, for example, outside the park that need transfers into the park, that need game drives going into the park. And the initiative which we've been working on with Avis is to set up a park and ride facility where those people can either be fetched from their bed and breakfast or their lodges, or drive to the gate and park your vehicles and then get onto a community game drive vehicle and be taken through parks. There will be correct training. Avis are facilitating fleet management training and management of a business with their expertise. So, yes, we are doing things around the park. And also, our reservation system has been developed in such a way that we provide the same sort of service that Brett has talked about of providing these SMEs at Border of the Park with access to markets. So if we're full, we can say there is still accommodation available. For example, at Bhutajane, which is a community nature reserve next to the park, where there's accommodation there and you can go and stay there. So there are initiatives that are happening. And the provincial government is working with us on some of those, as well as certain NGOs that are helping in those areas, GTZ being one of them that we're working with in that area around Kruger at the moment. In terms of, just to make a point as well, we see ourselves not a development agency, but as a facilitator. And one of the projects we've worked on was really around presentation, was how does the impact analysis of national parks, and I mentioned last time that there was work done on this, and I'm not sure if it was sent out afterwards by the CEO, but essentially the way we said is if money is put into developing national parks, there's a multiplier effect that happens in those rural areas, because to a large degree our parks sit in rural communities where there isn't a lot of resource. And if you look, this is just a spin-off of what happens in national parks, is per 1 million rand spent, that is spent by SANParks in operations or maintenance or fencing projects, whatever it may be, 6.32 permanent jobs are created within national parks, 0.59 temporary job opportunities are created as well, and then 1.6 permanent employment as part of concessions that we operate, like the private lodges or game drive operators that come in, and then 3.14 total indirect jobs. So because we create that economy in the area, people then open a butchery or a bed and breakfast outside the park. If you take Edo away, the Dash Edo National Park away, virtually every business around that area will close down.
That's the reason they operate. It's why there's B&Bs there, why there are elephant back safaris, why there are shops. To a large degree, other than the orange or the citrus farming around Addo, it's all driven by the national park. The reason why all these private game reserves opened up was driven because a conservation initiative started in that area. The same with Kruger National Park. If you took it away, the economies of those provinces would collapse. It's all built around, to a large degree, around those things. So if more money is spent, and I mean this is where the committee can help, if more money is directed, and to a large degree government has come to the party through the EWP funding, the Expanded Public Works programs, we've got significant money, it's going into creating employment because we're then developing more opportunities through tourism that's operating through efficient systems. So we might not go into the community and develop a lodge, but because we're operating, we're creating employment and we're creating the opportunity for the operations to help. Outside of those parts. So essentially that's how our angle in terms of development is being focused on. It's creating the economy in the area for those jobs to start developing around the park. I think that is all the questions I wrote down, Chair. Are there anything missing?
Could I ask you, let's assume this committee decided something or came to a conclusion. How would they interact with industry? How would, if there was a discussion on hotels, how would the communication from this portfolio committee end up getting to the hotels?
I don't get that correctly there.
What I'm trying to understand is it's difficult to understand how Parliament and government deal with hotels. I'm assuming that there's also the correlation the other way. Our industry is complex, and Glenn and I are involved in it all the time, and I think we spoke about it at the previous meeting, is to get an understanding. My understanding is this portfolio committee sits above the National Department of Tourism. The National Department of Tourism speaks to South African Tourism. South African Tourism speaks to the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. Sandparks sit as a member of the Tourism Business Council. FedArthur is a member. I just want a clarity that everyone understands where we pegged. I represent hotel accommodation business. So it's a private sector association. And I don't want it to say the tourism industry now has got an issue with SMMEs or whatever should be the outcome. I need to understand that everyone understands the framework that we're all playing in. You know, we come down here voluntarily to have these discussions, and the idea was to have a discussion around where everyone fits in the placement. But I'm just intrigued in 93 days, how, if this committee decides to let's assist people in the Eastern Cape, what is the action plan from here to actually getting that down to the ground? How long or what would the mechanism be of actually getting that to an individual SMME in Port Elizabeth?
Thank you very much. The parliament represents the public representatives, and then it has an oversight over the department and ministry that is the executive. And then what is at play here? Given the 2010 World Cup and the future of and beyond, is the livelihoods of many people, including people in FEDASA, those and other stakeholders, and the intention is to develop and have more industries. More industries, small industries, because they provide more employment per million, say, rents, and as a result, we have to make sure that in the process, well, the reputational risks and brand threats to the brand South Africa, which is which is of public interest,
is not damaged in the way we interact with each other. The question around how then SMME in the Western Cape features, it is it is one part in this spoke of all these of the bigger picture. For instance, there had been concerns that of the tourism spread in South Africa, that only KwaZulu-Natal, in fact, Western Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal, to an extent, get the benefit from tourism. And then it is our intention then to try in having an inclusive growth to make sure that these provinces, these other provinces as well, do get benefits. But the question now as to how and who is going to do what is what we've got to figure out as different players in the industry. Your task is to represent your members. And then if perhaps as a government we see that the distribution of wealth is not going according to what we foresee, then we've got to say, government, there is a market failure. I mean, that happens in every country. And then quite often, market failure, the question of distribution of wealth sometimes is a market failure. Now, where there is market failure, that is where government has to intervene. The question around the distribution like Eastern Cape and so forth is the government has got to play a part, either by giving incentives to establish partners or directly intervening in establishing those businesses. There is an opportunity right now, that is the 2010 opportunity, which is seen as a milestone in the development of tourism in South Africa. How does then that grow the small business in the Eastern Cape, the small business in Limpopo, the small business in Mpumalanga, which normally does not benefit from tourism as we talk? How do we then go into the future? I think that is where the small business in the Eastern Cape has relevance. It's the distributive growth with distribution, and then it is addressing the disadvantages of the historical disadvantages, because which are still there as we talk, like in terms of assets, in terms of resources, in terms of capacities. So it is going to be a battle that needs us to engage. But I agree with you that it's not everything that concerns addressing the past, which has got to land at your door. But you can to make business behave in a particular way, then government has got to provide incentives. We cannot force business to assist the disadvantaged. But definitely there has to be incentives, there has to be persuasion, there has to be interaction. Because if we continue having this gap between the rich and the poor, then we are not going to be able to manage the country, and no one will be in a position to manage the country in future. So it is in our interest to try and assist each other. the question of then fighting amongst ourselves depends on the leadership we have. We ought not to fight. What needs to happen is to say, these are givens. These are lessons we have had. And then given the lessons that we have, the resources, the capacities that we have, the experiences that we have, how then do we go forward? What experiences have been there in the other countries that like Malaysia that have addressed problems of the past and so forth? So this falls within that context.
Mr. Chair, my only concern, we've got 60 days. How are we going to do that? We cannot, this is not a discussion item. This is now an action item. And all differences aside, if we do not get to these SMMEs and put them onto a platform that is acceptable to international visitors, we will miss this opportunity. And I'm afraid it's not coming back in a hurry. So what are we going to do action-wise? And how can I assist?
Yes, Kronborg and Muslim.
Thank you, Jesus. I think this is something where each of us as committee members must actually become active. In listening to the presentation, my sort of immediate action that I was planning was, A, we have a network of all our tourism representatives through the provinces. So we will leave here and we will contact all of them. And so that they must then contact their towns, their tourism operations, and get hold of all, as many people as they can, to actually spread the word that the SMEs, the hotels, the guest lodges, whatever, have to get onto that database. And soon. So that would be the first thing. And I thought also you could write letters to the newspapers, for example, in our hometowns, or get our colleagues to do so as well, and actually say, you know, guest houses, B&Bs, get there. This is your last chance to be there. Because, yeah, they've got to actually start marketing themselves, but they just actually perhaps need to be told where to go and in the quickest possible way. And I think it's of each one of us here to actually go back to our party structures, to our branches, to our constituencies, to our activists, and say, go round them up and put them on the website.
Mr. Kronborg. Thanks, Chair. I think the conversation is now, or the debate is now going in a very constructive direction. The fact is that none of us, with all due respect to all of us on the committee, none of us are experts in these very specialized fields. That's why we ask the experts to come and address us, so we can learn from them and assist in that process, hopefully in the leader-like and team spirit that you referred to, Chairperson. I mean, I wasn't aware today until I was informed by FedHasa that basically 3%, 3,500 out of 120,000, which is very close to 3%, of SMMEs have actually registered with the Rooms for You database. And that, to me, is a very serious situation, because it means 97% of the people that many of the committee members profess to want to help actually are going to miss out. So my question was similar to the Honourable Shin. Absolutely, I think every one of us as individuals and as responsible public representatives need to do what we can to do that. But it strikes me there is a department that's got a massive budget running to almost R1 billion right now that should surely be paying the lead. I mean, it shouldn't actually be just up to FedHasa to encourage people to take advantage of what's very correctly been identified as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Let's face it, the World Cup is not going to come around to our country for another 50 years at least. We will be dead by the time the next World Cup comes around, unfortunately so. So the question I would like to ask to FedHasa is, in the same spirit that I think the original question was raised to you, Chair, is, does he see a role by the Department of Tourism, perhaps in the form of an advertising campaign, media releases, something at a high level where perhaps the Minister or SA Tourism, I don't know exactly what would be the most appropriate forum, could actually say, listen, guys, there are 93 days left. Within the next 60 days, you need to get onto this database, otherwise you're going to lose out. Because I'm not sure that the Rooms for You concept is that well known in the country, and that's perhaps why only 3% of the SMMEs that actually registered. Could the representative of FedHasa maybe give us the benefit of his wisdom and expertise in this matter and maybe make some suggestions to us in all humility how we could enhance what they are already trying to do as he's explained to us via SMSs and email?
The issue is it would be lovely to do that. The initiative is a FedHasa initiative and it's run by private sector. And the issue from the ministry was they could do the MOU and support it and endorse it, but they couldn't do marketing on its behalf. The challenge was that why the registration, particularly Western Cape, was so low, is that there were some industry players that just object to everything. So as it was announced by the ministry, it was shut down. But no alternative was put in place to say what else it could be that's done. And unfortunately for an event of this type, you have to have a specific central contact place, a place where people can put stuff up, and the ability to do it at a last-minute situation. If I have a cancellation today, I should be able to put that room on the site and know that it could be sold, because a room night, once it's disappeared, can never be retrieved. You know, you're not losing anything, but you're not making money. You can't make two bed nights the next night. So it's all about that. So the ideal thing would be a strong statement to go out, this is where it needs to be. I am doing it. I've been on CNN, BBC, Carte Blanche. In fact, Thursday night will be another issue on it. So I'm trying to do as much as I can, but it's getting to a point, and I mentioned being tired. I'm tired of trying to do something when it's a lone voice, and we need to now be collective. And unfortunately, the message out is not a nice one, because I don't know how else to get people to react anymore. This 90 days to a lot of people seems like a long way away. And I can't get through to people that it's not. You know, on the 15th, when the site goes live, what's not on there is going to be lost in sales. So that's the urgency. So any assistance would be great. And the MOU with the department is in place, but it didn't deal with the marketing or advertising, which would be lovely in one way or the other.
I think as a way of conclusion, I think the question now is around managing expectations. I was at a colloquium last week where a representative of small industries was saying that we are not going to benefit anything from the World Cup. I mean, she was representing the SMMEs. Now, in situations like this, then the response and leadership should not come from organizations like FedHasa or from the Sunparks, but they should come from the government, a government that this thing assists. So our task as members of parliament, I think, will be to interact one way or the other with the department. Our challenge is now this concurrence of powers. We are a national government, and then provincial governments are having an equal voice on this matter. They are the implementing agents in this matter. So we have limited powers. But at the same time, we belong to political parties. That's perhaps the channel we can look into and see how then we can try and influence the situation. Or we act as a committee and then we discuss and then look at the specific actions. It's no longer planning now. Is looking at specific actions to do in, say, improving the situation of the different provinces. We have shows in the Eastern Cape at the same time. What attracts people to the East, could attract people to the Eastern Cape during the World Cup? Are we going to have fan parks, that type of thing? And rather than perhaps debating on planning, the debates on planning now, I think, are over. let us look at what specific actions can be taken in different areas. And the issue of Mapungubwe and mining is the same issue as we are having in the eastern, in the Western Cape, where people believe that there is going to be mining rights to be granted to some people. But this is a democracy. People have got to lobby those people around them and oppose things that are untoward, and then the government then will have to interact. You have seen the situation of the boundaries, where when we did not allow people to interact with us, the court reversed our position. It is a secure democracy, it's a secure constitution. Let us leave it. We expect robust debates everywhere. Those who are listening to the radio this morning were listening to people's lifestyle audit and so forth. It's not always, democracy is not always comfortable. It is going to be tough. And we've got to be in a position to persuade people. And the bottom line with the democracy is persuasion. And we are going to be to keep South Africa talking. We are not going to discourage people from robust debate, but that debate has got to have directions with outcomes that we look for. With those few words, I thank everyone.